Do you need to move the needle of your nursing career? Is your career in need of a shot in the arm? Let's talk about my top 10 tips for getting things going right here on episode 183 of The Nurse Keith Show. Well, hello and welcome to The Nurse Keith Show. I am so grateful you're listening. Whether it's your first time tuning in or you've been hanging out with me here on the airwaves for months or even years, thank you for being part of the growing Nurse Keith Nation. This podcast is, as always, all about you and your nursing career, and I'm here to share education, inspiration, and ideas that can get you moving in a positive and inspired direction. If you want to see the show notes for this episode, you can follow along at nursekeith.com/episode183. Now, before we dig into the meat of the episode, I have a few asks of you, dear listener. First, I want you to consider becoming a patron of The Nurse Keith Show, just like other listeners who give just a tiny little bit each month to show their support and their appreciation for the content and value they get here. When you pledge at patreon.com/nursekeith, you get some pretty cool premiums in gifts from me. So just head over to patreon.com/nursekeith. And finally, consider signing up for my newsletter over at nursekeith.com. And remember to leave a rating and review of the show over on Apple Podcasts and iTunes. Anyway, those are my sincere asks of you. So now let's dig deep into today's topic. Come on with me into the studio. So as this year of 2018 comes to a close, or even if you're listening to this in 2024, it doesn't really matter. There are always opportunities to grow and move the needle of your nursing career forward. We don't want to move backward. We want to move forward, right? Well, this happens to be the week of Thanksgiving here in the United States, 2018. It is the end of November. And as the year comes to a close, we often start to think about what we want to do as the new year dawns. It's just around the corner. And like I said, if this is 2028 and you're listening to this episode, there's always time and opportunity to do something new or find some novel way to instill a little extra energy or pizzazz in your career and kind of get things moving, because we can start to feel stuck and stultified and stale after a while. Stuck, stultified, and stale. I like that. And we need to make sure that we don't stay in that place. So this episode is really about my top 10 tips for getting your career going, whatever time of year it happens to be that you decide to do this, and whatever time of year that you choose or happen to listen to this particular episode, or read the show notes over at nursekeith.com/episode183. So I have talked about my first tip before, and we are going to talk about it again and again because it is so important, and I find a lot of nurses have a fair amount of resistance to this particular tip. So tip number one is to continuously and consistently and authentically grow your professional network. Some of you might be going, okay, Keith, we've heard this before, but you need to hear it again because a lot of you just aren't doing it. Or if you're doing it, maybe you are going about it in a way that's not as effective as it could be. And if you are growing your network assiduously and consistently, good for you. So the first thing is to realize that your network doesn't need to be just nurses, and it doesn't need to be even just healthcare professionals. People who can be part of your network are your friends because they love you, and your family because they love you too, and your acquaintances, or even people like your insurance broker, your travel agent. Some of us have travel agents still, right? Or even someone you know from the bank, or a shop owner you know downtown, or art gallery owner or even artist you happen to know, because you know what? You never, ever really know what someone in your network might have to offer you and also what you may have to reciprocally offer them. So let's say you're friends with an artist who has a gallery downtown in your city. You might think, well, I don't really need to be connected to that person really on a professional basis because they're an artist, I'm a nurse, and neither has anything to do with the other. And I would beg to differ and disabuse you of that particular opinion. And this is why. That artist isn't just an artist. He or she is a person. He or she is a person who receives healthcare, who knows people, who has children, who has a spouse or parents or brother and sister, or maybe a sister-in-law who's a nurse, or you just never really know. And one thing I like to teach people and impart to you in particular is this notion that when we have a large network of people, and I don't mean like close friends, your close friends are going to be a small circle, but I mean your wider orbit of acquaintances and professional friends and colleagues and just people you know around town or around the country or around the world for that matter, there's so much serendipity that can come of those relationships. And like I always say, you just never know what can happen. If you're open to the magic, to the spontaneity and serendipity and coincidences and whatnot that come of having varied and interesting and far-roaming and far-reaching relational circles, those circles can prove to be gold mines of connection and ideas and creativity. Like, remember that artist I mentioned a couple minutes ago? Well, maybe you, as a nurse, decide to start a business and you need a logo. You can go to your artist friends and say, hey, I'm in need of a logo for my new business. Do you happen to know of somebody who might be able to help me out or give me a consult? And your artist friend might say, hey, you did me a good turn. You took care of my daughter when she was sick a couple months ago. Let me do a logo for you. Tell me what you want. So you just have to be open to what can come of relationships. And relationships are all about giving and receiving. And if you give more than you receive, well, that's a great calculus, actually, because to be a giving, authentic person who really cares about others and is always, you know, offering to do something or offering to help or giving advice or just being present for other people. What goes around comes around. You won't necessarily get quote unquote paid back by someone in particular within your network, but when you do something nice for someone, something nice is eventually going to come around to you. And I truly, truly believe that. And just remember that everybody knows someone. Everybody knows someone. And when you meet a person or you befriend a person or create a new acquaintance or relationship, remember, it's not just that person sitting across the table from you having coffee. It's the 300 people or 500 people in that person's orbit. So remember that relationships are everything. I'm a highly relational person, so I truly believe that. And I believe that for your nursing career, creating symbiotic, authentic, friendly, helpful, giving relationships that have a great deal of give and take is one of the best possible things you can do for your career. So that is tip number one, grow your network. Number two, this is coming back to something related to growing your network, and this means get yourself on LinkedIn and get yourself on some form of other social media as well as a way of gathering information, meeting people, growing your network, and otherwise making a name and a place for yourself in cyberspace. Now, some of you might say to me, well, I don't really need that. I don't need to be on LinkedIn or social media. I know plenty of people and I have a great job and I don't have time for that. And I will say, as I always have said and will continue to say until I'm blue in the face and on my deathbed, is that if you are in the professional world, you need to have a robust presence on LinkedIn, period. You know, not all of us have a personal website, but LinkedIn is your own personal little professional website that paints a picture of who you are. And if a colleague or partner or acquaintance or someone is going to look you up on Google, make sure that they have something positive to find, and your LinkedIn profile is a great place to do that. LinkedIn is also a great place to meet people. Let's say you want to do a little research on what it's like to be a nurse case manager. Well, that is a great place to go to find some nurse case managers in a group, or maybe just by searching in the advanced search and finding people who do that particular thing that you're interested in. And then you can take those relationships to the next level and maybe have a chat on the phone or meet for coffee or have a Skype or FaceTime call. So make sure that you have a LinkedIn profile. Make sure you know how to use the platform and know how to have a robust and complete profile. And I can always help you do that if you'd like a little LinkedIn coaching. I also recommend you hang out on either Twitter or Instagram or Facebook to some extent, just places where other nurses hang out. Twitter is actually a great place. A lot of nurses hang out there, and you can just type in different keywords, you know, hashtags like nursing, healthcare, nursing careers, etc., and find some great content and meet some pretty cool people. So my second tip, which follows up on tip number one of networking, is to get on LinkedIn and social media and do a little networking online. It can't hurt, and it can really help over time. And at the very least, it can be entertaining, and it can also get you in touch with what people are talking about in the various industries and areas that you are keen and focused on in your personal and professional life. So hang out on LinkedIn and some form of social media and let me know if you need my help, and I will help you learn how to make the best possible use of those platforms and applications. All right, tip number three is to update your resume every 6 months. Yes, we've talked about this before. I keep mentioning it because I think it's very important, and maybe you, dear listener, haven't heard this message yet. I always recommend updating your resume twice a year. I often will tie that activity to the times when we turn our clocks back in the fall and turn our clocks forward in the spring. If you are lucky enough to live in a place where you don't have to change your clocks, which I think is a totally artificial waste of time at this point in the 21st century, but that's another podcast entirely. Anyway, I digress. If you happen to be lucky enough to live in a place where you don't have to do that silly thing, well, I recommend do it, let's say the spring equinox and the fall equinox, or maybe July and December, whatever you happen to decide is the time for you to update your resume. This is a basic need for any professional. And just like LinkedIn, etc., you might say to me, hey, Keith, you know, my resume's fine and I have a great job and I have no need of updating my resume because I plan to stay at my job for the next 20 years. Well, I hate to tell you this, but that job could end at any time. This isn't to be a naysayer or wet blanket or put the fear of God in you, but jobs can sometimes come to a close for reasons that you didn't foresee. Or maybe something happens, you decide that some amazing job comes around the corner and you want to apply for it, and then you have to stay up till 5 a.m. updating your resume to make sure you can meet the deadline for the application. So why not make sure your resume is always up to date? I will give you another reason to keep your resume up to date. I am always a big supporter of nurses and other professionals being on the boards of nonprofits or other organizations that you admire or respect or want to be involved in. If you decide to apply to be on the board of an organization, you're probably going to have to submit your resume or CV. You may also need to submit it if you're going to apply to maybe a master's or PhD program, for instance, or maybe even a certification. Or maybe you decide you want to speak or present a workshop somewhere at some nursing conference or even your local chapter of a nursing organization. They may want to see your resume or CV. Also, there are plenty of other reasons to have your resume updated, like perhaps you're going to be applying for a promotion or another position within your organization. Now, of course, they may know you very well, but it may be part of the application process that you have to submit your resume. So just update it every 6 months. It shouldn't take more than an hour, twice a year. Keep it updated, and that document will always be there for you when you need it the most. Now, tip number 4 has really nothing to do with resumes or networking or anything like that. Tip number 4 is basically to take better care of yourself. I think for most of us, and I will include myself in this particular group of people, taking better care of ourselves makes sense, and there's always more that we can do. We can always eat better. We can always hydrate better. We can always maybe exercise more or maybe exercise at all. There's plenty of ways that we can move the needle and increase our self-care, our personal wellness. And when we do that, when we feel better in our bodies, when we feel better emotionally or psychologically or spiritually even, anything is possible. When we have things that are weighing us down, keeping us back, or making us feel less than, or less healthy, or less well, or less balanced in our lives in general, that can contribute to this idea of feeling stuck. And when we feel stuck, our vision for our lives can become very narrow. We can't really see the forest for the trees, or maybe even see the trees at all. So, not to mix metaphors, but that is one way that we can help our careers move forward, is by just taking good care of ourselves. And it just makes sense. You will feel better at work. You'll feel better at home. And you'll feel like you have a more vibrant life when you are caring for yourself. And caring for yourself can mean a lot of things. It can mean finding a hobby, something you really like to do. Maybe you've always wanted to learn how to skateboard, or maybe you've always wanted to take a drawing class or do some ceramics, or maybe you want to go back to church. Maybe you haven't been to church for many years, or maybe you want to be in psychotherapy. Whatever it happens to be, even if it's a weekly walk in nature, any way that you can take care of yourself will impact your career in positive ways, many of which you cannot even imagine. So if you don't do anything else that I recommend in my top 10 tips today, I would take tip number 4, take better care of yourself, and make that your modus operandi for the year to come. All right, moving right along, number 5. Number 5, I am going to say, this is one that is quite specific. This is a tip that won't work and doesn't work for everyone at every point in their career and lives, but sometimes it's the right thing. And what I will say here is you should think about the possibility of getting a certification, going for some sort of specialty training, or maybe even consider getting another degree. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't even have a master's degree yet, and I'm just kind of tossing the idea around. I'm not even sure I want to do it yet. And I am not a big proponent of going to school just because you're going to school. I always believe there needs to be some sort of return on your investment. And I don't necessarily mean that when you get your master's degree, it has to translate into you earning more money. That doesn't always happen. And many of you out there with advanced degrees will probably agree with me that getting another degree doesn't always mean your income is going to change at all. Sometimes your income goes down counterintuitively, but that's beside the point. If getting another degree will help you to feel better about yourself, more confident about what you know, or if you're just an intellectually curious person who loves learning and loves education, maybe getting a degree is just what you need for your own personal growth, your own intellectual or psycho-emotional growth. And if you want to take on the debt and the energy it takes to get that degree, even though it's just for your own interest and your own personal development, that's totally fine. And sometimes a degree isn't what we need to move the needle. Sometimes we just want to, let's say, take a class, take a special course in maybe, let's say, physical assessment. Maybe you want to spend $500 on some physical assessment course that will help you do a better neurological exam, because that's what you want to learn how to do. Even the small things that we learn along the way in continuing education courses can really help us feel more solid as clinicians or as professionals. So it can go from anywhere from a one-day class for $25 to a PhD that's going to cost you $50,000. So there's a broad range here, and I'm not saying that any will be better for you than the other. It all depends on what you want and what really makes you tick and makes you happy. One of the middle-of-the-road things you can do between, say, a $25 CEU and a $50,000 PhD is a certification. If you are, let's say, a critical care nurse, but you haven't done your certification yet, but you've accumulated the clinical hours to sit for your exam, sometimes getting that certification, one, can improve your self-esteem because you feel like you've really taken your professionalism and your skill and your knowledge to the next level. And that can feel really good. That can help your credibility professionally in terms of getting hired for a new position or applying for a promotion. Or it might even help you just in terms of your standing when you're doing grand rounds with a bunch of physicians and surgeons, and having that certification in critical care gives you that little edge of credibility and knowledge that helps you feel more confident. So a certification can cost from hundreds to maybe thousands of dollars, depending on how extensive the undertaking is. So consider what it is you might want to do for your professional growth, for your growth of knowledge or skill or confidence or credibility, and see if one of those avenues might be what you need right now. All right, well, we are going to take a pause for the cause. And, you know, speaking of degrees and education, this episode of the Nurse Keith Show is brought to you by Rasmussen College at rasmussen.edu. That is rasmussen.edu. They have a highly flexible online RN to BSN program. It's designed for working registered nurses like you who want to earn their BSN while balancing family, work, and school. The program is accredited by the Commission on Collegiate Nursing Education. It can be completed in as few as 18 months, and they offer 4 start dates per year with affordable tuition. The program is available with FlexChoice, which allows you to blend traditional online courses with self-directed assessments that provide a more affordable way to receive credit for the stuff you already know. What do you think of that? The curriculum prioritizes expanding leadership skills, quality and safety education for nurse competencies, and they provide innovative student support, including 24-hour support centers, tutoring assistance, and nursing library and learning support. Remember to check out Rasmussen College at Rasmussen, rasmussen.edu. The links to all of their social media platforms and their website are in the show notes at nursekeith.com/episode183. My sincere gratitude to Rasmussen College for their support of the Nurse Keith Show. And we are back for the second half of Nurse Keith Show, episode 183. We just thanked Rasmussen College for sponsoring the show. We did our first five top 10 tips for moving the needle of your nursing career prior to the break. And now we are going to dive into the second group of five top 10 tips to round it out with our group of 10. Now, my number six top 10 tip for moving your nursing career forward is to think creatively and take off your blinders. You might say, well, what does that really mean, Keith? And I will say this. Thinking creatively means thinking outside the box. Creative thinking is sometimes what will move the needle for you when nothing else is working. When we feel stuck, when we feel stultified, and we can't see what is on the horizon, we end up feeling blocked about what's possible because we don't believe anything new is possible because we can't see it. Now, creative thinking can be taught, but it's also something that you need to feel inside of you. And that has to do with seeing possibility. Now, in my first five top 10 tips that I mentioned in the first half of the show, one of those had to do with taking better care of yourself. And I believe when we are healthier in mind and body, in emotional wellness and spiritual wellness, that helps us to think more creatively. Think about it this way. If you are sick and tired and not feeling well and feeling uninspired and not really feeding your emotional life, not exercising, not getting out in nature, not doing fun things or going on vacation or taking time to read a book or go to an art gallery, that is where your creativity can become stifled. And you know what? I've been there. I've been in that place where I just felt like there was no creativity in my personal or professional life, and things just feel stale. So if you need a little shot of creativity in your life, maybe like I mentioned earlier, you take a drawing class, or maybe you start to go out to nature and do some found object sculpture in the forest. I don't know. Whatever it happens to be for you, anything that can make you feel more creative, make you feel more alive, that is the thing to do. So that is tip number six, is think creatively. Now, tip number seven is make sure to have fun and enjoy your life. Experiencing more leisure and pleasure are crucial to your personal, spiritual, and emotional wellness. And many people deny themselves pleasure and enjoyment. And this has to do with your creativity and taking better care of yourself. And it should be a no-brainer. So like I said earlier, anything that can move the needle for you, anything that can bring you a sense of peace and wellness or creative thought or just taking time for yourself and you and your family, that is what you want to do. From sitting in your favorite chair in the sun and reading a book to spending time with creative people who are doing really cool stuff in the world, whatever it happens to be, make sure to have fun, make sure to create leisure and pleasure in your life, and that will help move the needle in your life and career as well. Okay, moving right along. Number eight is consider what you want in the short term, the midterm, and the long term. I often work with clients doing something that I've talked about here in the show before called a SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, SWOT. And when we're faced with life plans, everything can seem really overwhelming, but when we can break our lives and our careers down into digestible segments, that can help us make our plans and help them feel more attainable. So having a short-term plan, a mid-term plan, and a long-term plan in your career can really help you feel like you can get your head around what it is you need to accomplish and when that might need to happen in your life and career. So that short, mid, and long-term planning is crucial. Let me know if you want my help with that. I can certainly help put that together for you. Number 9 of our top 10 tips is to appreciate the career you've had and the work you've done to get where you are. This week, like I mentioned earlier, is the American celebration of Thanksgiving. I know there's a Thanksgiving in Canada as well. And this is a time of year, the holidays, etc., when we can dig deep to feel gratitude for the opportunities we've had, gratitude for the fact that we were able to go to school and become a nurse, gratitude for having the skills that we have, the ability to lay our hands on someone and assess them for an illness or symptoms. That is quite a life skill. And we can feel very, very thankful and grateful that we're nurses and that we have this lineage of nurses upon whose shoulders we can stand as skilled healthcare professionals. We can also, especially if we are gainfully employed as nurses and healthcare professionals, we can feel grateful that we are better off than so many other people on this planet. And that's how we can give back, because we have the education, we have the skills that many other people don't have the opportunity to accumulate in the course of their lives. Over half of the world's population lives on less than $2.50 a day. Let me repeat that. Over half of the world's population lives on less than $2.50 a day, and about 80% of the world's population lives on less than $10 a day. So when we are bitching and moaning about the fact that we're only making $34 an hour and et cetera, and I know we have very high cost of living in the United States or Europe, et cetera, of course. However, we can keep it in perspective and feel grateful for the opportunities that our nursing careers have brought us. So the message today, tip number 9, is to feel gratitude, thankfulness for the fact that you're a nurse and you have a professional and personal calling. Finally, number 10, and this might seem kind of self-serving, and well, it kind of is, but I'm going to say it anyway, is number 10 is work with a coach. You don't necessarily need to work with me, though you are welcome to, but coaches who provide specialized services for people like you around careers or around wellness or around improving your health or whatever it happens to be, they have specific types of expertise to share. Just like I do, I happen to be your career coach, but there are plenty of coaches out there, life coaches, spiritual coaches, etc., who can help you get motivated, to dig deep inside for your motivations and desires, to identify and then set goals, and then hold you accountable as you move forward towards what you truly want to accomplish. So coaching is simply a tool. It is a tool to get you where you want to go, with the guidance and the support and the accountability of someone who's committed to your success. So of course, if you'd like to work with me, you can head over to nursekeith.com and shoot me an email, and we can talk about what that might look like. And there are plenty of other people out there doing all sorts of coaching who might be able to help you with whatever it is you want to accomplish in your life and in your career. Well, there you have it, folks. Thanks for listening to episode 183 of the Nurse Keith Show. I hope you feel uplifted and empowered from this episode, and I want you to take inspired action every day in the interest of your professional satisfaction and career development. The Nurse Keith Show is edited and produced by Tim Hollowell of thepodcastinggroup.com, and social media and promotion are handled by the talented Mark Cappy Speeson. I want you to stay positive, care for yourself and others, take inspired action in the interest of your career, and keep tuning in again and again as we continue to explore how to take your life and your nursing career to the next level. Be well, dig deep, seek joy, keep in touch. Happy Thanksgiving to those of you who celebrate it, and see you next time from here in beautiful Santa Fe, New Mexico. Adios.